welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Hello and welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is Jessica and this is episode 128. I cannot believe we've done that many episodes. Whew, so much fun. Well, today I have a great one for you. Today I'm speaking with Joy Cho of Oh Joy. You might have seen her products at the end caps of Target. She's done baby lines, pet lines, nursery lines, band-aids. She's done it all. And the joy that she's spreading around is simply contagious. Her bright colors, her attitude, everything about her just exudes joy, which I love. So today we're going to talk about motherhood. We're going to talk a little bit about her business as well and growing that. We're going to talk about raising daughters. We're going to talk about the things that she's learned as she has progressed in her motherhood. I really love how she approaches life and approaches business with such creativity, and how she's truly curating a life that she really wants to live according to her own values. And I think that's something that we can each do in our own lives. So I know you're going to love getting to hear from Joy today, so let's get to it. All right, I'm so thrilled to be talking with Joy Cho today. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Jessica.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I watch your Insta stories all the time, and so I feel like you've been talking to me for months now, even though it's our first time chatting. It's the best. Well, for people that aren't familiar, I don't know where they've been, but you are Joy of Oh Joy. You've been featured in Target. You're a popular blogger, and we're just going to go more into it. But today we're talking a lot about motherhood, so thanks for sharing your journey today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, why don't you give a little background on yourself for people that may not be familiar?
Okay, great. As you mentioned, my name is Joy Cho. I have a company called Oh Joy that started in 2005. There's obviously a longer story to my history, but to give you kind of a quick recap, I started as a graphic designer and had a couple different design jobs in New York City after I graduated from college. And then in 2005, I had moved from New York to Philadelphia, where I'm actually originally from, to be closer to my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, and because we had been doing long distance forever. So I left a great job with no new job and newly engaged in a new apartment, and I was trying to figure out what was next. And so having had come from a graphic design background, I also previously worked for Cynthia Rowley, who had one of the first lines at Target, and I was one of the designers on that line. So by that time, I had a love of product design and textile design, and I really just combined my favorite things from my last two jobs into freelancing. So I began in 2005 a design business and a blog. And they weren't necessarily intended to be anything. I was really just freelancing until my next great job came along. And then it just turned out that my next great job was my own business. And it grew from having started my blog and people starting to read it. And something that I thought was purely for fun and purely for my friends and my family to read turned into something that served as a very good marketing tool, unplanned, for my design business. So
I love it.
Oh Joy ended up becoming a design business where I designed for clients, logos, websites, packaging design for many, many years. And even though people think Oh Joy was always a blog, it really was first and foremost a design business, and still is, now with the blog being a big part of that as well. And so over the years, we have grown into being a lifestyle brand that includes product lines, daily editorial content on various social media forums. I've written a few books. I've done a bunch of consulting. And in general, it's a brand that wants to make people happy. The whole point really is, how can we give you ideas or tips or design a product that you can scoop up and buy and put in your home or put on your baby, and it will just simply bring you joy.
Wow. I love it. You're very well named. You know, it works out really well that your name Joy is exactly the message that you want to be promoting in all of your work. I love that so much. And I think it's really translated. And you definitely have a style and kind of persona. If you see the end cap at Target, you know it's Joy's, right? And it's just so distinct, and I love it. Have you always been a colorful type person?
No, the crazy thing is when I used to live on the East Coast, so I'm from Philly, and then I've lived in New York a bunch of my early adulthood, as well as in Philly. I used to only wear black and gray. I really feel like I came into myself and my personal style after moving to Southern California about 6-7 years ago. And I think the people think I'm from here because I do dress colorfully, but I didn't really embrace it or really wear much color until that time. And really, I don't know. I think that we spend a lot of time figuring out who we are as people, and also once you're a business owner, who you are as a business. And mm-hmm. It definitely didn't come for me overnight. It took me a while. And but yeah, California really, really helped me with that.
Yeah, no, I think that all the colors are definitely representative of California. I'm a California person as well. Well, do you think that's who you always were, and it's kind of like peeling off the layers for you? Or do you think that you've just evolved to this place where this is who you are now? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like I was always meant to live here.
Okay.
I love the East Coast, and there's so many things about it that I miss and that we will never get in Southern California. But I do think there is something about the sunshine constantly beaming down upon your face that really does make me a happier person and a better person. I am not a person who does well with bad weather and gray and gloominess, and I just get angry. And so when my husband had the opportunity to come out here for a job, and I came out, and at the time I didn't have any employees and my business was just me, so I could just go and run my business from anywhere, it really changed my life. I mean, it was the beginning of a new chapter for both me and for us as a family and as a new family. And yeah, the change was really good.
That's amazing. Well, this is a motherhood podcast, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is not just because of what you created with Oh Joy, but the way that you portray motherhood in your social media world and the way you write about it and the way you talk about it, you just really illuminate the joys of motherhood as well. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So as you were growing this business and as it kind of changed along the way, what did you picture for your family life? Did you always plan on having children? How did that happen for you, Joy?
Yeah, I always had planned to have children. I'm not one of those people who I can say as a child or as a teenager was never necessarily first in my mind. Mm. I always thought that I would have kids, but it was kind of like, okay, career first, kids second. And I don't necessarily think that I'm a natural born mother at all. Like, I'm not naturally nurturing. I'm not naturally domestic at all. So I think that I was not in a rush. And both my husband and I, we were together for 10 years before we got married, and we were married for 5 years before we had our first baby. So mm-hmm. we weren't in a rush to do anything. We really were both very focused on our careers, and we wanted to feel like we were ready. And while you're never ready for any of it, and you're never 100% like, okay, let's do this right now, we waited till we both of our careers were at least at a decent place where we felt like we were financially able to take care of a baby. I knew that was important, and that was very important for both me and my husband when we were planning to get married and planning to spend our lives together, that we both wanted the same thing. So
yeah. And so what were those early days like? You get pregnant, and was the pregnancy what you thought it was going to be? And then how were those days?
Man. So I have a 5.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. Both were very different, but I would definitely say that I love being pregnant. Not that I've had no issues. I was super nauseous for both of them. My first, especially. I mean, I was one of those people who threw up all the time. So that was not enjoyable. But once you get beyond that, past that first trimester, which for me was terrible both times, man, people are just so nice to you.
It's true.
People open doors for you, and they just look at you with this like sense of respect that I feel like people never gave me before. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying strangers.
Yes.
I'm just saying people look at you like, oh my gosh, you're growing human inside your body. It's amazing.
You're so important. Yeah.
it's a certain period of your life that people just really, there's like a glow that's cast upon you, and it feels weird that people are treating you like that, but I was like, hey, I'm going to go with it. This is not going to last forever. But I think that being pregnant, I for the most part, did okay with pregnancies. My first, I did great because I was 3 years younger than when I had my second. But my second, it was a little bit harder because I was a lot busier. I already had a first baby. Everybody, if you have more than one, you know, but by the second, it's just different. And I was on bed rest early on. I got gestational diabetes. Like, my body was definitely not handling it as well. So we definitely had some issues with that, but not terrible. I can't complain. I had a very healthy, beautiful baby who's now 2.5. But, you know, I learned. I mean, for my first baby, I worked out throughout the whole pregnancy. I was active. My second, I didn't. My workout at that point was taking care of my first.
Chasing your toddler. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, it showed. I felt a difference in my energy level. I felt a difference in what my body could handle. And I didn't have, and being 3 years older, while it's not that much different, still your body is different. And so I'm not going to have any more babies, but if I did, I've learned the difference between the two, and I would have been better about being active for my second pregnancy the way that I was during my first.
Sure. Sure. Well, when they put you on bed rest and you had gestational diabetes, I mean, for a go-go-go type person like you are, what did that do to you mentally? How did you handle that?
It was terrible. So that was 2014. We were finishing up the OJOY book, which came out in 2015. It was, you know, crazy deadlines and photo shoots and designing and all this stuff was happening. And Coco, my second, came 2 weeks early, which so did my first. So I wasn't necessarily prepared. But in addition to that, I was put on bed rest at like 32 weeks.
Wow.
Because I started going into early labor I started having a lot of contractions, and my doctor was like, "You're working too hard. You need to go on bed rest." And so I cried. I mean, I remember being in the ER, and they were monitoring me, and she said, "Okay, well, you need to stay in bed pretty much until you're 37 weeks, until the baby's big enough to possibly come." And I cried, and all the nurses were like, "Oh my gosh, why are you crying? You can stay at home and you can watch TV and catch up on all your shows." And I was like, "I don't want to watch TV. I have a book to write and I have work to do, and I don't want to sit there and just watch reality TV." And you know, I understand. I understand how I probably seemed crazy to them, but my work is one of my passions. I love it, and I love what I do. And the fact that somebody had to tell me that I had to be in bed, that sounds like the worst thing ever. Because it's one thing if it's for a weekend or a day or something, but for 4 weeks, basically, yeah. I had to be on bed rest. So anyway, it was a really hard time. And also, my first was 3 at that time, or almost 3, and 3-year-olds are the worst. And we were dealing with a lot of tantrums and things like that with her. And my husband has a very busy work schedule, so my mom had flown in from Philadelphia to help us out during that time, which was one of the things I didn't want to ask for help, because I never want to overextend people, or I'm really bad at asking for help, especially in situations like that. But my husband was like, "We need to," and she knows she'll do it, and she wants to help. So she was there to sort of just help me do the things that I couldn't do, because I wasn't supposed to physically be doing anything other than walking to go to the bathroom or take a shower. And then so I basically ran my business from my bed for a few weeks until I was able to go back to work and allowed to have the baby if the baby were to come. And then, of course, I go back to work, and like 3 days later she came, because she was ready to go.
Wow. And so did you ever get to a point where you felt better about being on bed rest, or were you always kind of like itching to be done with that?
I was itching to be done. Yeah. I would like to say that I learned to relax and rest. But it's hard. I mean, I think that if maybe that was my first child and I didn't have another one, because for me, it was really hard to not be taking care of my baby and not be giving her baths, or just not being as active. It's like, mm-hmm. you're there, but you can't physically do anything, which is almost worse than not being there in some ways. Or basically telling someone else how to
yes.
do it, to guide my mom through helping me, who she obviously is doing her best, but it's different than you as a parent yourself.
Right. And especially when you're about to transition, you know, you're bringing in another baby, Ruby's world's about to be rocked by being a big sister, and you just kind of want to do everything for her and prepare her and show her how much you love her and everything. And when you're just limited, that had to be really difficult.
Yeah, it was really hard, because I think she was already knowing that something was happening, and all of a sudden her grandma was there, which she loved, but at the same time, there are certain things where you just want your mom. So yeah, it was a rough period for us for sure. And then the baby comes and that changes her world.
Yeah. But they're the cutest together now. And aren't you so glad you had them spaced the way that you did? And I mean, sisters, I mean, that bond is so amazing.
It really is. I have a little brother myself who's 8 years younger. So we were far apart in age. Mm-hmm. He's a boy, I'm a girl. So we were never close like that. I mean, we're close now in the way that we can be, but we never had this kind of like actively played together at the same age kind of period. And the two of them together are great. I mean, of course it's not perfect and there's still jealousy and there's still arguments and everything. But when my husband and I see them interacting and loving each other and just like really, really, truly loving each other, I think it's the best thing.
I know. I know. And you don't get to pick it. But like when you do get that, you're just, I have three boys. And so seeing them all together is just like the best. It's the best ever. And so, yeah, as your business has grown, your girls have grown, they're 5 and 2. It's like, I'm sure there's a lot of being pulled back and forth and being pulled by your business, being pulled by your family obligations. How do you know what to say yes to and what to say no to? Because every time you say yes, you're saying no to something else. When you say no, you're saying yes to something else. So where, how do you draw the line on those kinds of things?
So I think that I've learned over the years, as I think we all do, as we get older, as we have more commitments, as we can be more selective with saying yes or no, because there are days where you have to say yes to everything because you need the money and you need to pay your bills and all of that. I'm pretty good at trusting my gut. It number one has to be worth it, both time and cost and all that stuff. But it also is, if it has to do something that will take me away from my family, it has to be worth it in some way. Mm-hmm. So there's the things I say no to the most, don't necessarily involve specific jobs. Yes, of course, certain jobs, if something's not the right fit, I say no. But things that involve me traveling, things that involve me speaking, things that involve me being away physically from them, that's probably what I say no to the most. Mm. And especially during the first 2 years, like Coco's now 2.5, but the first 2 years prior, I rarely traveled other than very important business meetings that I had a few times a year. But other than that, there were jobs I was up for that I said no to because I was going to be away from my baby that I was either nursing or that I was still really trying to be around during those early, early years when I just wasn't ready to leave both of them for extended periods of time. So I feel more ready now. I mean, granted, I still don't want to travel too much without them, but if I need to be away for a couple of days, my husband, you know, supports it and wants me to do whatever I need to do, and it's fine. It's more of my own. It's probably more of my own guilt for sure. It's not anybody else's but mine.
Yeah.
But I think in general too, it's, you know, sometimes people ask me to do things and I'm like, you know what, if you could have this event at 7 p.m. at night after my kids are in bed, I will be there. But if it's going to be on a Saturday afternoon, right smack dab in the middle of my weekend with my kids, I am most likely saying no. So, and it's, you know, people understand and you don't have to give them a reason. I think that's the main thing, is that when we say no, we feel guilty and we feel like we need to explain why. And you don't need to explain why. You just can say, I'm sorry, I'm not available for that, whether it's a personal invitation or a business invitation or whatever that is, and just feel okay with it. And I think as you move along in whatever you're doing, you will start to feel more and more comfortable with that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think sometimes we underestimate our ability to combine our family with our passions. Like, obviously, your kids can't do everything with you at work and they can't always be with you. But I see on social media and what you've allowed, you know, the public into your life in terms of that, you know, you're taking your girls to events when you can. You're in a very family-friendly type environment where, you know, there's, you know, new lines coming out and they get to come. And I'm sure that's a lot of fun for them. And so for moms that are feeling like, oh, I really want to exercise, but I don't have time. Well, how can we, you know, get your kids involved in that pursuit? Or I really want to do this or that. Well, how can we get them involved in cooking or exercising or whatever it is? And I think you've done a really good job with that.
Thank you. Yeah, and I totally agree to your point about the exercising. I mean, I should do that more.
We all should.
I can actually get in some workouts. But yeah, the ways in which I do it is the way that my job is. I do get invited to a lot of fun events. And if they're kid friendly and they have activities for kids and it's during family time, then yeah, we all go and we can we can double up and have a fun afternoon with it. And so I think that's one of the benefits for sure. But I try not to bring my kids to things that are like adult events because that's right. not fun for anybody.
No.
And they're just kind of hanging out, standing around, listening to grown-ups talk about stuff. But yeah, I think also because my office is a pretty fun one in terms of there's craft supplies and there's different things, the kids love coming by to come and say hi or just hang out. Or sometimes if one of my kids is off of school early or on spring break, she can come and hang out and entertain herself and draw and do a project. So
yeah. I love that. I love that. And I'm sure they have no clue, like, the scale of what you're doing. But do they get it, like, when you're in Target and you walk by and you say, oh, mommy did this? Like, do they really understand, like, who you are and what you're doing?
Ruby does. She's my older one.
Sure.
You know, when she was about Coco's age, so roughly 3 years ago, is when we were prepping for our first Target line. And she came to photo shoots and I kind of started trying to teach her about what I did. And she did understand. But once the following year when the product started coming out and my photo was on the boxes, and that's when I think she started learning what my that I have a company called Oh Joy and that we make these colorful things and they currently sell at Target. And so she gets it now for sure. She understands. I don't think she understands. She doesn't understand exactly the full capacity of it or exactly what's involved, of course. But I think she does understand what it is. The funny thing is when she was first kind of connecting it, when we would drive by Target, she would say, "Mommy, there's your company, Target. It's right there." And I was like,
sure.
I wish that was my company. So yeah, she's really fun with that now because then she'll say, "Mommy, you know what you should design next?" And she'll like say all these things, some which are realistic and some which are totally like out there. But right. I love that she's even thinking about it. And then Coco, my little one, I mean, she can still fit into our baby clothing because it goes up to 24 months. Uh-huh. And so I just, when she can wear it or when she's wearing the Band-Aids, I make sure to tell her it's Oh Joy. And she does say, she'll say it's Oh Joy, but I don't think she also knows what that means.
That's amazing. Yeah, congratulations on your new baby line that just launched.
Thank you.
Oh, so darling. Was the Band-Aids the first thing you did for Target?
No. Well, the Band-Aids aren't for Target. They're for Johnson & Johnson, but they sell at Target.
Okay, got it.
The first thing was the Party line that came out in 2014. We're on our third year of Band-Aids, which our third collection will be coming out on Sunday, actually.
Wow.
And so those are super fun because I'm the first aid section. And those are probably the most fun piece of product we've ever designed, even though it's the tiniest, just because people use them so much and they have them just around all the time that it's kind of like a little piece of Oh Joy that's always with you.
Right. And for such a boring piece that where most people just put a flesh-colored Band-Aid on, it's like, oh, it's so fun for kids. It's fun for adults. It's fun for everybody.
Exactly.
That's amazing. That's so great. And so what is your most favorite thing to design? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, the way that my business is set up, in which we design so many things, I think my favorite is the variety of it currently. Because it's all licensing, I have the ability to sort of approach different situations as they come or as I approach them and pitch to companies. So, I can't say I have a favorite specific one just because I like doing all of it. And that's kind of the fun of what we're doing right now. Yeah.
Well, and isn't that motherhood, too? It's like, it's hard to pick something that you love most about it, but it's never a dull moment. It's never the same thing twice, that's for sure.
Exactly.
And so as your girls see you working and as you're raising little girls, I only have boys, and so I love speaking to moms of girls. What is the main message that you want to raise them with as you're growing confident, kind women, potentially business women, but maybe not? You know, who knows what they want to be when they grow up? What is the main message you want to raise them with?
For me, it's about the fact that they can create whatever they want. I think that right now we're obviously in a time of very heavy girl power with the way that things are going in the political climate and just socially and everything like that. And regardless of whatever else is going on in the world, I've always felt very strongly about this with Mom Oh Joy readers, and it's just whether I had girls or not, but I do feel like I was meant to have girls because I feel so strongly about the ability that we have to create our jobs and our life from whatever we want. And I also want my girls to just know that they can do that. One of the things that has helped me in the last couple years in dealing with mom guilt, because we all have it and I have it, is that even though, yes, I'm choosing to have a career and I'm choosing to have a business and I'm choosing to work and not be a full-time stay-at-home mom because I love my job so much and because I want them to see that. I want them to see that their mom can create something from scratch. Like, oh, Joy is a creation from nothing.
Yeah. And
businesses these days, there are so many that can be created from nothing. It's not standard follow this plan anymore. Like, there's so many ways to go. And if you want to be this thing or that thing, or you want to be a combination of three different things, you can. And you can, you just have to work hard and you have to be nice to people. And I think those are the things too that my husband and I always reinforce, mm-hmm. is that no matter what you want to do, you have to work hard at it, because things don't just fall in your lap and things don't just show up. But along the way, you also need to make sure that you are nice to the people who are helping you do what you are doing. Yeah. And then, oh, so the other thing is that in LA here, I've really found my community of friends who are also business owners. A lot of them are mothers as well. And so my kids, especially my older one who understands more, she's surrounded by other women who are business owners, who are creating things, who sell various products, who have different types of business, who are photographers, who make this, who make that. And so in some weird way, she's not seeing your typical job. She's not seeing somebody who works at a cubicle, mm-hmm. a 9-to-5 job. She's seeing people who kind of like have created all these different things. So she is getting a slightly skewed version of the way that it works, but I'm also okay with the fact that she's seeing that, because these are all very empowering things to see. And I think that it gives her just more ideas for the future of what she could be. And if she doesn't want to start her own business and she wants to, you know, not be the boss, that's fine too. But if she wants to be a boss, she's definitely mm-hmm. getting a lot of, she's witnessing a lot of different bosses.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I love that answer. And I think anybody that knows you knows that not only maybe are you explicitly teaching your kids this, but anybody that I know that knows you says how generous, how kind, how respectful that you are. And I think that role modeling goes way farther than anything we can explicitly teach our kids through like a conversation. And so I think that speaks volumes. So as you're putting your life out there on social media and, you know, bring the world into like what your day-to-day life looks like, is there anything we would be surprised to know about you, Joy?
I think that people just think that my life is perfect. Yeah. And that, I mean, that's probably true for a lot of people you follow on social media, but I think they also think that I like make dinners from scratch or that that my house is always clean. I mean, I am just as much of like a normal mom as anyone else, in the sense that I am just trying to get by every day and just make it all work as best as I can. And most days it's okay, and some days it's total failure, and some days it's awesome. And so I remember, there was one time I Instagrammed a video or a photo maybe of Ruby singing or something, and there was a pile of laundry on a chair behind her that was like halfway folded and not neatly folded or anything. It was just there. And I wasn't paying attention to it. I didn't go and like style the background behind her. And I posted it. And one person, a few people commented like, oh my gosh, thank goodness you're normal. And like, I have piles of laundry too. And I think that was like a moment where they realized like, oh my gosh, she has piles of laundry too. But then there were also some people who were like, oh my gosh, your house is so messy. And I was like, yeah, my house is messy. I have a full-time job plus, and I have kids and I have a family and I have all this stuff I'm trying to do. So, you know, I think that I want to make, while I don't want to go and use social media as a place to complain, or I do try to make it mostly positive, and not saying that my life is always positive, but for me, that's just what I want to fill people's lives with joy in the moments that I have and that I can. And I'm also a very private person, so mm-hmm. some things I don't share. And so I think that people think that because I don't share those, that I don't have them, but I do. And so I make sure when I can, that people know that in a way that is relatable. You know, when I talk about having a 2-year-old going on 3-year-olds, and that age,
terrible. We all know what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. People always can appreciate it. And I appreciate sharing it and getting feedback from other people, because I'm like, okay, it's not just me. It's not just my kid. It's not just me not understanding why this child is completely unreasonable.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing too. And sure. I think that we're at a place where in some ways some people are so fed up with social media, in the sense that they want it to get more real, or they want to feel like they are seeing more real things. But at the same time, I think that we also want to share more real things. Mm-hmm. People who are on social media. I mean, that's why I like Instagram stories so much, is because it's just me talking and I'm showing you stuff. And yeah, some of it might be colorful and cute and all of that, but it's also not edited and it's not perfect. And I just do it on my iPhone. So yeah. I like sharing that part with people as well.
I love that. And I think that even though, yes, your life may not be completely perfect, as some people might think, there can be joy found in even the imperfect moments. And I think that is the message you're trying to share.
And I think
that's what we can all share, you know, not just griping about the laundry, but saying, here it is. And it's okay, because we're doing life. So
yeah,
I think that's
exactly great.
That's awesome. Exactly. Well, what's next for Ojoy in this coming year? Is there anything that we can look forward to? You just launched your baby line, which is awesome.
Yeah, we just launched a new a spring collection of baby clothing. We have another bigger collection of baby items coming in July.
Ooh.
Nursery, like sheets and crib stuff, and then more clothing. So look out for that. And then we have Band-Aids coming on Sunday. Those will be at Target exclusively. And then we have two more home decor collections, a summer one in June and a fall one in September coming. And then right now, I mean, all that stuff has been in the works for over a year. So right now I'm working on products and plans for next year, which I can't tell you about
yet. But we'll look forward to it.
Thank you.
That's amazing. I'm just so happy for you and all your success. And your motherhood inspires me so much, that you're able to pursue your passions and love on your kids. And even though you're not doing it all perfectly, you're doing it with great love. And that speaks volumes. And I think it's really inspirational.
Thank you.
Well, I always ask my guests one final question, Joy, and it's this.
Yes.
What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff. Pre-motherhood self. I think I would tell my pre-motherhood self to go and get more sleep, number one. Because I don't sleep enough now, but not because of my kids, but just because I have so many things that I do once they're asleep. I don't know. I think I would tell my pre-motherhood self that it's going to be okay. Like, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be without tears. It's not going to be without bumps along the way, but you know what? You're going to trust your gut and you're going to figure it out, because the thing is that if I told my pre-motherhood self some of the secrets that I now know about how to make certain things work that I didn't know when I first became a mom, I wouldn't have gone through the road of figuring it out.
Mm.
Right. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of like, if you could go into the future and you knew that you could avoid this fight or this conflict by telling yourself that, would you? You know, I don't necessarily think I would, at least not with motherhood, because everything that happened along the way, both good and bad and everything in between, I needed to learn and experience to be at the place that I'm at now, of having figured some of it out, and I still don't know all of it, but that's what the future holds, is me continuing to figure it out and get to a even better place of feeling like I have a grasp on what this whole life thing is.
I love that. Yeah, the lessons definitely run deeper when you go through them yourselves versus getting that shortcut or that quick quote to fall back on, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I don't read I love parenting books, articles, because right now I'm trying to potty train my second baby, which is way harder than my first.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm like, okay, I guess I need to read a book, because I clearly can't apply the same tricks to my second kid.
I know. Well, Joy, thank you so much for sharing about your motherhood journey. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished. You're an extraordinary mom.
Oh, thanks, Jessica. Thanks so much for having me today.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Wasn't that a fabulous conversation with Joy? She is so amazing. So next time you're at Target and you're walking by the end caps and you notice the vases with faces on them, or the paint splattered pillows with cute pom-poms and colorful colors in the nursery section, you'll think of Joy and you'll think of this interview. Thanks so much for sharing your motherhood journey, Joy. It's such a pleasure getting to hear that side of your life. Everything we talked about will be linked on extraordinarymomspodcast.com. Pictures of Joy's family, how to follow her on social media, her website, everything like that. And you can also follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3, on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And I want to thank you again if you've been sharing the podcast with friends. It means so much to have new friends joining our community and listening and being inspired by all these amazing moms. I know there are so many moms out there that are in a stage where they're feeling isolated and needing a little inspiration and a little boost. And I've heard from so many of you that this podcast is the source of that. And so I want those moms to be able to know about us. So many people don't even know what a podcast is yet. So if you're loving the podcast, if you'll share it with people, that just means the world to me. Thank you so very much. Next week, we're having a repeat guest. It's Jessica Olson. She is back. And this time, well, last time she was talking about their experience with the NICU. And this time she's talking about her daughter's diagnosis with autism and then a more recent diagnosis of Rett syndrome, which I didn't know anything about. So it was a really fascinating interview for me. And the evolution of Jessica's motherhood and the strength that she's found from growing through this challenge is quite remarkable. So I know you're going to love tuning in next week, hearing about her journey. So thanks for tuning in today, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.